Hey everyone, this is Space Cafe Podcast, and I am Marcus. Honestly, how often have you asked yourself why you do what you do? Why do you have this job and not another? Why do you drive this car when there are so many others? Why have you decided to take this vacation this year? Even if this question may sound banal, every now and then it surprises us and confronts us with tricky questions in return. Do I have this job to feed my family or to finance my lifestyle? Or do I have this job for a deeper reason? I find this an interesting exercise to confront oneself with every now and then. And of course, there is a job title for that as well. Ethicist, that is. Usually someone who asks uncomfortable questions and gets paid for it. Like my guest today.
My name is Jacques Arnoux. I come from France.
Jacques Arnoux is an ethicist at the French space agency CNES. And I can already tell you this. The next 40 minutes are strong stuff.
I never sleep. I mean, I always have something to do.
But they are worth it. Hang in there.
When we introduced ethics 20 years ago, the first reaction was opposition, because ethics seems to be something negative. I remember a French journalist wrote a paper, not concerning CNES, but concerning ESA and ESA interest for ethics. And this man explained, okay, if you introduce ethics, it breaks the movement. It's against the enthusiasm, the innovation.
Slow down progress.
Yes. We immediately decide to say, okay, ethics is not against. Ethics first is interrogation. And we need to introduce day after day integration concerning what we are doing. And the first question is why? Which is a raison d'être, the reason to have space activities. And it's always the same for space exploration or Earth observation or communication or what you want or human space flight. Why we have decided to do that? What we are always doing that today, and that's a reason.
All right. So, if you asked that question, Elon or Jeff Bezos or whoever, in fact, the reason they do it is to make money. So, wouldn't that be the answer, or is ethics on a different level?
You are right, but they are able to answer in few words. It's a very short story. It could be business or a dream for childhood or what. Okay, but they have answered. The challenge for us as space agencies or European Space Agency or national space agencies is that we have also to give an answer to the same question. And perhaps it's not so easy for a nation, for Europe, to provide so clear answer than the answer from Bezos or Musk. And probably it is a force of this person is to have something very short to answer, something very simple to explain, even if the story after is not so, it's complex to go in action, to elaborate program and to succeed. But to the why question, they have answered. And so for me, it's the first step of ethics. If you cannot answer to the why question, you are not in an ethical position.
Sure. This could be a very European way to approach things because there is a deep root in the humanities when it comes to the European tradition of thinking. So do you think this produces an advantage in a globalized space industry for Europeans, for the French, for ESA to think in that direction?
Yeah, sure. Because if I occupy this position, I totally agree with the fact that it's necessary. In the same time, I totally agree with you. It's we can say that this sort of European characteristic and especially a French characteristic to trying to interrogate ourselves or what we are doing and why we are doing something. I remember an article on the website 2 or 3 years ago, and the journalist asked me, yes, you want to know more concerning my job. And okay, you make a very good article presenting what I try to explain and this question. And in one reaction of people concerning this article, it was a very, I could say that, not negative, but something violent reaction saying, oh, okay, it's really coming from France because they don't have a real space program and they have only time to make reflection about space. Mm-hmm. It was violent because we have a real space program and as Canada, okay. But I agree that it's something perhaps specific. But in the same time, I defend this singularity coming from Europe. We need some time to take, yes, we need to take time to introduce this sort of mm-hmm. interrogation. Even if sometimes, okay, the answer is not in a way saying, okay, go forward, forget what the consequences and forget. And yes, but we are human. It's a humanistic way of thinking and preparing the future. And as personally and with my colleague, we forget that. It's not only a question of technical innovation. It's something concerning all the dimension of humankind. And I always say, I'm not sure that my little work has a real influence of the French space program. But if I try to answer the question of my people around me, they bring their money. And it's, again, it's public finance, it's public money. And we have to be seriously sad. And being serious is, from one perspective, is, yes, having this question of why we are doing that, how we try to prepare this program, and what could be the consequences of this of space exploration or telecommunication observation, okay? Because we know that all these technologies have real consequences on the society, and we cannot ignore that. And it's one mission of ethics is to answer this sort of which are the consequences of space technologies on society today.
You know what? I find it really fascinating, and maybe unconsciously, you are doing what Steve Jobs has been doing very deliberately, and that is to tell a story in exactly the way you are approaching things. Because what Steve Jobs has done is he inverted those three important questions. What do you do? How do you do it? And why do you do it? That's the traditional way of approaching things. He inverted those things and said, why do we do what we do?
Yes.
How do we do it? And what do we do? So, for example, you could either say, I build computers as a first question. Then how do we do it? Because we build great hardware. And why do we do it? Because we want to make money. But if you invert that, you could say, why do we do it? We want to change the world. How do we do it? By producing top-notch hardware. And what do? We build computers. By the way, you can buy one. Now, of course, this is marketing speak, but it produces a completely different way of approaching things and gives a lot more weight to the same thing you're trying to talk about. And so Steve Jobs took it maybe from this very European and deeply rooted humanistic tradition. So I find that analogy very interesting to see.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Does this make better Mars missions, better moon missions?
Yes, not from the technical point of view. But if you can introduce this, again, it's a question of story. You can tell the story and explaining what is changing when we are now arriving on Mars, or in the story of exploration. Until now, the story of exploration was, okay, one person or little group was going outside of the frontiers and trying to explore a new territory. And if everything is going well, they come back and tell the story of their discovery. And by the way that they are telling the story, a new team or other people are trying to go forward and crossing the new frontier and step by step exploring new territories. But now with our space rover, these rovers are really exploring, and they are not telling the story as human, not telling the story after the exploration, but during the exploration. When you can see the surface of Mars, when you can hear the wind of Mars, not directly, but a little distance of time, that's incredible. It's a new way. It's a new chapter of exploration. And you need to explain that to people because, okay, we are going on internet and we are hearing the voice of Mars, but trying to know that it's a really new and even it, and in the future, perhaps human being on Mars. But now it's possible to explore Mars with new eyes and you can hear, and perhaps one day we can smell, and it's incredible. And this is really new substance to exploration, a new way to explore. And we have to discover that it's a new way. And from my point of view, it's not without influence on our own human species and the way we are understanding our own human condition.
Please do correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the current space race is a race of a highly hyper-technological society. And the question for me is, where are the humanities in all of this? What's the role of the humanities in this current hyper-technological space race, considering the fact that the humanities used to be a basis of our modern society during the Renaissance. And after the Renaissance, a technological society came into being. So the question is, have we lost ties to the humanities, or where are they at the moment?
It's a big question.
We have time.
You have time, but because we are speaking now about space enterprise, and space enterprise has, in fact, the development of science, the development of technology are until now the product of Occidental culture. And it's not without consequences first for the Occidental culture too. I understand that you receive at the same cafe Brother Guy, and he published a very interesting book. I don't remember the title, but is it possible to baptize extraterrestrial being? But behind this question, it's a very interesting question concerning the how the Occidental culture with a Christianism influence receive or not the hypothesis of extraterrestrial life. In this context, in this cultural context, you have some answer. Yes, no, it's easy or difficult. Okay. And the position of Brother Guy is clear. It's a very open mind person, and they say, okay, it's a creature of God as another creature, and we can perhaps propose Christianism or baptism. Okay. In other culture today, the answer could be different, not opposite, but different, because the relation between science, between and philosophy or religion is different due to the fact that the roots of philosophy are not the same that in our continent. In Europe, the relation between science and philosophy or religion could be very, sometimes are difficult due to the fact that they are the same roots, the same cultural roots. In Japan, it's not the same. In China, it's the same. And all the other continent. When we speaking about humanities, we have today to integrate the fact that we are at the same time a globalization context, but at the same time with different cultural background. And it's very interesting and exciting time. We don't know how it's move in the future, because in the future, and space is a good example, the fact that today China is a real space power and in the space race, a good competitor. My question, I think it's very, it's too early to have the answer, but what could be the influence of the Chinese culture, the background Chinese culture, which could be the influence in the future on science and the relation between science and philosophy and ethics and culture in general? It will be very interesting to see that in the future.
Absolutely.
But until now, we are always in a context of Occidental influence due to the, yes, was just the past, the birth of this technology of science is Occidental. But wait a little, in the future, it could be very interesting.
Fascinating. So where do you see yourself and the state of ethics in the face of current developments in the space industry? So are people listening to what you're saying? And seriously, or are they just saying, hey, Chuck again and give him 15 minutes and then let's work on our new thruster technology?
Yes, sure. Like, again, I don't dream. And I know that my influence is very little. Mm-hmm. But again, what I try and with my colleagues to do is first to say, okay, don't forget in your job this question. Do what you can do with this question, with your own answer. And sometimes we can be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. For example, with the question of space debris or planetary protection, we know that it's a really challenging question. Especially space debris. And it's not only, it's a question of, it's a political and legal aspect. And in Vienna, you have the Space Bureau, the Space Office of the United Nations. And we know that it's not easy for the people in this office to go forward, to find legal solution to manage the space debris in the future. And I think it's not only an ethical challenge. It's a more political and legal challenge. And ethics could provide some matter to think about that and to remember to people, okay, don't forget that. But trying to take the question with a balanced position and to remember, as you mentioned before, remember the why question. Don't leave only on the how question. Okay, we know that it needs more and more technology and technological assessment or technological management, but you can really go forward if you introduce also the more human perspective. If I success to introduce this perspective, right? And by every way, few years ago, I don't remember, probably 4 years ago, we have a magazine, a Knesset magazine, to make communication. And at the occasion of an evolution of the format of this magazine, people asked me to chronicle an ethical chronicle in this magazine. And I say, okay, it's a little step forward by this very simple way, explaining to people inside and outside Kness, ethics belong to our way of acting. It's take time, perhaps 5 minutes, to read this paper. Perhaps it's changed something in your mind. Not everything, but you don't forget again to be human. Because it's so easy to become only robots, to have, okay, we have to make something, doing something. And again, don't forget why you are doing that. And don't forget to be human. And when you see the sky, you have not only to see money or business but something in sky always is a source of fascination, a source of interrogation. And okay. And I repeat. And I think it's my job.
Let's just imagine I go across the street to a carpenter and I approach a carpenter and say, Hey, once a day, ask yourself the question why you do what you do. The question for me is, why should he listen to me? What benefit does he get out of that question? Does it make him a happier person?
I think so. I remember a long time ago, I visited a military camp, and it was at the occasion of a sort of exhibition, and the soldier show everything. And sure that the EV truck and all the very, okay, was very attractive. And the soldier. And in one corner, it was a little mobile kitchen. And sure that food is very important for soldiers. And we, with some friend, we are asking to the man who was responsible of the kitchen, explain to us what you are doing. And this man has a real, I say that, he know why he was with this mission. Sure that it was not very attractive. It's not very extraordinary, but this man know why he was on this place preparing this mission and why it was important in the global context. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was more happy, in general, but for his job at this time, okay, it was very good example of that. And what is very, for me, very extraordinary in space, just before our coffee, I was with a colleague of ESA, and we say we are very lucky to work in this domain of space, because every competence is sure that if you are engineer, okay, welcome. If you are a lawyer, okay, welcome. But every job is necessary. Mm-hmm. And we share the same enthusiasm. I remember when I entered CNES 20 years ago, it was just at a very bad time with the failure of the first mission of Ariane 5. Mm-hmm. And it was a catastrophic situation after 30 seconds, boom, failure. And around me, I just arrived. I know nobody. And at this time, I don't belong officially to CNES. I was at this time a tourist or a stranger. And around me, every person was, it was catastrophic. And especially people not really engaged. They are working for the team, for the people, for the engineer. But by this way, they don't have the knowledge to analyze what arrived. And they are immediately against the view of the catastrophe. And without mean to analyze, without distance, and they are totally, it was terrible for them. I said, okay, they really belong to the space community. Even if their job is very far from the launch pad and far from the conception for the engineer technical, no, but they share the same enthusiasm. And I think in space is that's I can say not the secret, but it's a miracle of space is that. Mm-hmm. And we are lucky to do that. But again, enthusiasm is really necessary, but you have to know how you are and why you are collaborating to this mission. And that's the reason for me. Ethics belong to the essence of our job. It's not something outside. It's not superficial. In fact, everybody's some days asks why I'm doing that and why we are.
You know what? I sometimes have the feeling that ethics could use a little bit of a rebranding these days because the terminology of ethics has some certain baggage with it, historical baggage.
Yes.
Because you already mentioned in the beginning of our conversation that whenever an ethicist enters a room, the mood goes down. And yes. But I believe what you're trying to do as an ethicist is exactly that, what I would say 99% of all people in the Western world are lacking. And that's the reason, as you mentioned already, the reason for what they do. So in every kind of job we're in, why do we do it? Not only for the money. And if we're saying it's only for the money to provide for our families, we already know that maybe this is not the answer we should be giving to ourselves, because this is not fulfilling. So this is why I'm saying that I think this is ethics, but maybe it's it needs a new kind of terminology, maybe.
Yes, yes. I totally agree with you, but the question is that we normally we use the term of ethics, and it's easier to say, okay, I am the ethical advisor. It's easy. But immediately, as I explained before, I try to say, okay, but it's not against you or against your job. And first, another story. I remember it was also at the beginning of my job, and my first topic was space debris. I know information. I tried to collect some information, and I visit a colleague in Toulouse. I remember the morning in February, bad weather. I was coming from Paris, and was one of the director of the Toulouse Center, and he introduced me in his office, and he asked, okay, well, I don't know you. Yes, I'm just arriving, and what is your mission? Okay, I have to make first say concerning the possibility to introduce ethics in our activities. Okay, and he said to me, okay, I suppose that you are publishing a report in few months. Yes, and he say, okay, this sort of report is in, and he showed me a corner in his office. Okay, it means that ethics was no interest. Okay, I say, I'm sorry, stop. And we can restart the conversation. Mm-hmm. And now I ask you a question, Mr. Director. Could you tell me your last mission program? And during 30 minutes, he explained me, it was a mission concerning the re-enter of a mobile in space and with the atmospheric constraints. And I don't remember the name of the mission, but it was very interesting. And he explained me step by step from the beginning to the end, how it's worked, the choice and the difficulties, and until the end of the mission. And after half an hour, it was very interesting and very concrete with the human dimension, how to manage the team and the briefing, debriefing, retext. And okay, perfect. And at the end, say, oh, I'm sorry, but because it takes time. And now at the end of our meeting, I have another meeting after you. And I'm sorry because we never speak about your mission and your mission in ethics. I say, oh no, don't worry. You teach me something very interesting, avoiding the term of ethics. But first, tell me your story. Explain me what you are. And by this way, you are doing the job, because step by step, you cannot stay at the concrete level or material level. You enter in the human level. You explain me how you manage the team and the choice and the difficulties, the failure, the success. With this matter, we can do something very interesting for the future. And that's what I try to do. And so forget the official term on ethics, but first tell me your story.
Great. Is there a method you have in order to help your conversation partners find the answer to that question? Because I suppose you would only enter the room and say, why are you doing what you're doing, and then leave the room?
It depends. It is sure that if you are in a face-to-face situation, and okay, I prefer to take time to say, okay, I invite you to explain what is your job. And in this case, after a few minutes or more, people say, okay, what is your meaning? What's your opinion of that? And trying to introduce or to reintroduce this particular mission or this particular job, more global background. Another example is with students. I'm in contact with the ISU, the International Space University, and I try to make the same job with the students. And I take the opportunity of what they name the team project, because in each context, they have always a team project. And I try after, not at the beginning of the team project, but after a few weeks, I arrive from Paris and say, okay, now explain me your project. Okay. And in 5 minutes. And now I explain what is ethics in my view, that's an interrogation. And in your opinion, what is the ethical question concerning your project? So it's first is your own idea, not my idea. And after it's a debate and you try to go forward and to elaborate a more global perspective. And it's always very interesting, but I try to start from the very concrete example or very concrete program, real program, or in the case of the students, it's more a team project, but it's the same. Because again, ethic is not coming from outside. It's just coming from the sky and from top down. And now we are introducing ethic from upside. No, it's what you are doing and it's concrete matter. With space debris, it's the same, or human space flight, or
and how do people react to this? So what's the most interesting feedback you've gotten over the past years from working in this way? With
I can't say that normally people are always interested to do that, trying to discover that. What they are doing, sometimes very focused, very precise, and all these things are not isolated from a more global context. And this, by this way, again, it's, as you mentioned before, it's a way to be more happy with a job or with a project. And sometimes also we can answer some question or introducing more and more questions. I remember a very interesting time with again, students from ISU, they make a project concerning very long travel in space with, I don't remember the official name of this generation vessel or with a lot of generation to go very far. And in this project, their first interest was more from a technical point of view, but they have an idea that behind it's a lot of human questions. And how to manage team, group of human during long time. And it was very interesting because at least they say, okay, we have a lot of technical challenge, but perhaps the first challenge is human challenge. How to manage different generation, how to maintain the interest generation after generation. And by this way, they are trying, because it's an international group of students. So between culture, it was some different position between Chinese students or American students. They were the same position concerning the way to manage a group of 1,000 or 2,000 person, but it's been a little human group during a long time. And so we don't at least have concrete answer for every interrogation, but we have the occasion to share all this, the richness of all this domain of space and, in this case, exploration of space.
I had a very interesting opportunity for a talk with Richard Dawkins a couple of years ago. And he said that evolution is coming in several layers. So we have, of course, our physical evolution, but also our cultural evolution. And that cultural evolution is also layering ever more. So what we're seeing at the moment is on an exponential scale that we are exploding in many fields, culturally, technologically, socially. And that the thing is that on those different scales, we reach different speeds of evolution. And one of the fastest speeds and one of the fastest evolution that's going on is technological evolution, and that our own capacity as human beings is lagging behind. So my question would be, are we mature enough as humans, as society, for what we are about to do in that space race that we're going on? Because like building spaceships, building rockets, it seems like an easy thing to do, as difficult as it is, I know. But at the same time, the more difficult question is, are we mature enough to venture off this planet?
It's a very interesting question. And modestly, but I can say that's the reason we need the work of philosopher and, and, an artist, other domain of culture, we need their interest for space, because sure that in space, especially, we are opening the window very wide to the universe and to other technique and to other way of not only thinking, but also to confront to the reality. And I'm not sure that we are ready to do that. And I don't know if the opinion of Arthur C. Clarke concerning the Apollo mission. I remember that sometime he wrote, okay, there's a question. Perhaps we arrived too early on the moon. It was too rapid. And we have no time to follow with our cultural capacity. It was too far and too fast. And I think it's okay. We can discuss on this idea, this opinion, but something is right and is in connection with your question. So that's the reason I am always happy when I see that people from outside the space community, outside from the engineering community, try to explore or experiment this new domain of space, because by this way, I hope that we try to go forward not only from a technological point of view, but also from a human point of view. You ask me that today space tourism is debated. Some people are pro and some people are against, and okay, it's another question, and also an ethical question. But for me, what is interesting in the next future of space tourism is to have people outside the astronaut community who experiment the space context and the space atmosphere. And because until now, we have a lot of testimonies coming from astronauts, what means the overview effect and living in zero G but it's always the same community of astronauts with quite the same way of selection and education. But I hope that in the future, with the arrival of tourists and perhaps artists and perhaps philosophers and perhaps poets and with other perspective of space. And we need this alternative perspective to enrich our way of thinking space. And by this way, not being in disconnection with the technical innovation and technical progress.
Fascinating. We're slowly coming to the end of this fascinating conversation, and I'm very grateful to have that one. Is there anything you would recommend for me, for our audience, to read, maybe a book that would widen our horizon towards becoming more ethical beings? More, maybe also more conscious beings when it comes to being conscious about what's going on in our own lives and what's going on in our social sphere, social bubble.
You can read so many books, especially in science fiction. I think the first people engaged in ethics, in fact, were probably the science fiction author, because they try to imagine our own human species in the future, in space, and all this question of how to manage the discovery of extraterrestrial life, how to manage arrival on Mars and beginning terraforming, and how to manage the exploitation of space resources. Even you can find some fiction about the utilization of satellites around the Earth and what sort of society we are building when we use these satellites. In one way, Orwell is a good with the Big Brother theory. It's a way to think about a more technological society. Mm-hmm. So for me, fiction or science fiction is very good. Even in my office now, I have a book of science fiction, and probably the only place in this headquarters with science fiction. But it belongs to my job to do that, because it's a way to introduce philosophy in our job, sure, as a work.
So what's the one book you would recommend?
In science fiction, it depends on your own interest.
When it comes to making us more open towards ethics and the grander scheme of things?
Difficult question. The trilogy of Mars, Mars, Blue Mars, Green Mars, or Green Mars and Red Mars, and Blue, I don't remember, is very interesting because you have a lot of questions concerning why we want to go outside the Earth. And the first, one of the questions, people say that we have a debate concerning have we or not Planet B, the possibility to go outside Earth? And I belong to the people mm-hmm. saying no, we don't. But so it's one of the questions of this trilogy, but also what means to develop another human community. And so, the selection. And it's a very incredible, very interesting book, but mm-hmm. beyond so many books. So don't hesitate to take one and two, but you can read this fiction with a really, I can say, philosophical view. Mm-hmm. Don't hesitate to do that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. A last question we keep asking our guests again and again in our podcast. And that question is referring to the title of the podcast. And this is a coffee place, a space cafe. Mm-hmm. And of course, in a space cafe, in a coffee place, you would sometimes have a shot of energy, and that is an espresso in the coffee world. Now, let's have an espresso for the mind. What would you like to share with me, with the audience, irrespective of what we've been talking about, as an inspiration, as a shot, an espresso for the mind?
Immediately, I have the following idea. If you think space has a very specific motivation and consequence, space is a very good way to concentrate the universe to the dimension of Earth and humankind. Because we are collecting all this data from universe and collecting to Earth and in our knowledge. It's one movement. And the other movement is in the opposite, is to dilatation from Earth to the universe, a sort of respiration, inspiration, expiration. And in fact, for me, it is a definition of being human. This, a human being or human species has always this movement of concentrating to our own identity and at the same time expanding our identity to the universe. So space is really a human enterprise. It's a humanistic enterprise in every dimension. So it's very serious. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's very serious because it's a way to build our own identity. And it's belong to now, after 60 years, it's belong to our human identity. And at the same time, it's a question of responsibility. We are really responsible of what we are doing in space and with space. And we have to think about that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jacques Arnaud, for that beautiful conversation. And what I really like is the time we're in at the moment, because on traditional television, it wouldn't be possible to have that depth of that conversation over such a long time anymore. Sure. So I'm glad that we have social media. I'm glad that we have podcasts to just do whatever we want to do. So thank you so much for taking the time. Merci beaucoup.
Yo, merci. Merci, merci.
So have you found the answer to the why question? I have. Thank you for your interest and for being with us today. Quick reminder, Space Cafe Podcast is part of Spacewatch Global, a powerful network of some of the finest and most exciting stories in the space world. And best of all, Spacewatch Global is independent and has the entire globe in focus. In times of increasing space activity, it's easy to lose sight of the bigger picture. I'm looking forward to next time. Have some nice summer days if you can. Take care.